Bless you. Thank you. Hey, good morning, guys. Man, what a fun time. All hail King Jesus was rocking the house, huh? Like, yeah. So we were having fun over there in our little corner. I trust you were. Don't ever let your heart grow dull to the power of what he's done. It's the reason we're alive. Nothing was created that wasn't created through him. It's by his power that all things exist, the word of his power. Isn't that amazing? So he's the Lord. It says in your Bible that whether men believe or not, there's coming a day where everybody's going to see him for who he is, fall to their knees, and their tongues are going to declare he's the Lord, because there's no other option. It's not because he's controlling and mean and a power freak. It's because he's overwhelmingly amazing. Yeah, I've had the privilege of experiencing the Lord in little dabs, and it feels like you might die. I better not go there this morning. I gotta stay together. I don't have a ton of time. This is always an exciting challenge for me, a Sunday morning. I like pouring out my heart for a long time. My heart's exploding. Don't ever let Sunday morning be your Christianity. Don't let Christianity be the fact that you come to Word of Life Church. Christianity, and you have an amazing church. I've been excited the whole time I've been here. I love your leadership. I've gotten to meet people. I get stirred being here. I feel like God, I said it in the leadership thing yesterday, I feel like God is really about to do something beyond what we've experienced, something maybe we've been hoping for, praying for, but I get that impression, and I've been excited the whole time I'm here. And I'm not an assessor. I don't come here to weigh atmospheres and check out things. I'm just telling you, when I got here, my heart was excited, and it's been that way the whole time. So I want to talk to you openly and plain this morning. I want to share something beautiful. Hopefully I'll have time. But I want you to know this, that you can't let the church attendance, the church you belong to, even though it's amazing, worship's incredible here, it's fun to be here. But you can't let that be your Christianity. You can't let your church attendance take the place of knowing him. Christianity is Christ-likeness. Christianity is living Christ, and the whole Bible reason we assemble together is to stir one another in love and good works. So we actually live outward, that we live this way towards others. George, his wife, and I were talking about the sheep and goats last night. I just shared a little point. It's on my heart just because it was fresh last night. The only difference between the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25 is that one group lived beyond themselves, recognized the needs of others, and gave themselves to others, and stepped in when they saw need. The other group didn't even see the need. It didn't say they didn't go to church. See, that's what people don't, and people go freak out crazy when you talk like this, because most people prayed a prayer to go to heaven, not to live Christ. Be very careful, because if all you did is pray a prayer to go to heaven, you're not going to live effective. You're not going to bear fruit unto God. You're not going to multiply him. You're not going to sow seeds. If all you did was pray a prayer to go to heaven, you're in survival mode. No, we're in kingdom mode. We're here to stir one another in love and good works, so we're all in the game, all in the race. Come on, I'm looking at an army. Gideon only, God narrowed him down to 300 to overtake a whole lot. I'm looking at an absolute God army if we get this thing. Like, you guys are a God army. Like, this is amazing to me. Wonder if every one of us get up in the morning to walk in the light. Wonder if every one of us get up in the morning to be more like him. Wonder if we get up in the morning and settle in our heart, nobody owes me a thing. I found my identity. I found my purpose. I found my reason for being in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I found in scripture, I'm complete in him. So actually, I don't even need you to love me anymore. I'm going to walk in love. I'm actually fulfilled in God. Why? Because I'm connected to the source of life and the source of love. And that's what the cross did for me. So now I'm released to walk in the light as he's in the light. 1 John 2 said, any man that says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked. Most people will say that's impossible, but the Bible says that's why we're here. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, so he can live in us, dwell in us, and empower and quicken our mortal bodies and cause us to live in a way we could never live apart from him. Come on, that's exciting to me. Like, I think it's actually a very boring life to just come to God for what he can do for you. Because then you're always driven by your circumstances. You're always knocking on wood. That's not wood. But you're always hoping things go better. And your whole prayer life revolves around you catching a break, getting a blessing, having provision, and being protected. And it's a self-conscious, self-focused, self-centered world that's subject to fall apart when anything changes. My Bible says that I should glory in my tribulation. That has not been a common response in the years I've pastored. Does it say that in your Bible? It's Romans 5. I read that book. It says you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ being justified by faith. Then he shifts a gear, and now you have access into his grace in which you now stand in hope of the glory of God. Now he really shifts a gear. And not only that, you glory in your tribulation. He puts it right on the list of peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, access to grace, hope of the glory of God. And not only that, you can glory in your tribulation. Why? Because it produces perseverance. Perseverance makes you complete and lacking in nothing in James. But in this scripture, it says it gives you perseverance, which makes you have hope, and hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Perseverance brings character. Character brings hope. Hope doesn't disappoint. What would make a man glory in his tribulation? He's not saying you got $800 of bills and you looked in your checkbook and got $650 and go, whoa! You understand that every situation you're in is a situation to reveal him, to make him known. Guys, when you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. That is not deep. If it was apple, you would be freaked out. That would be weird. Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? Here's what's happened. We've come to him for other reasons than why he's called us to him. We've come to him to catch a break. We've come to him for provision. We've come to him hoping he protects everything we care about. We've come to him when everything's fallen apart, hoping he puts it back together. We come to him when we broke something, hoping he fixes it. Most of the time, we get tricked into coming to him for us, not for him. You will never live the life he paid for unless you come to him for his great name and his glory. You won't see past yourself. All you'll do is be consumed with what you need for your little world to spin, and you'll bring God into that hoping he makes that happen. And if it ain't happening, you're wondering, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? How do I need to build faith? How do I need to pray different? And you're on this whole journey that's all about you getting something from him instead of becoming something because of him. He is not here to serve us. He's here to father us and transform us. What does it mean to walk in the light as he's in the light? Definitely not complaining, frustration, unforgiveness, discouragement, backbiting, bickering. All the things we got tricked into thinking are normal because we were born into Adam. But friends, we got born again. And we put off the old, and we put on the new. And there is new wineskin pouring, or new wine pouring, and it wants to pour into a new wineskin. New wine doesn't be contained in the old way, because he's the way. We need change. We need to realize I was never made for me. I was made for his image. I was made for his glory. I was made for his great name. Everybody in this room, when you were born, you had no identity. You had no clue who you were, me included. We needed loved, support, stability. We needed appreciated at a very young age. You needed value. You needed to feel accepted. We had a lot of needs in our life, psychological needs in our life. Every one of us needed loved. And most of us didn't get half of what was on the list in an effective way. And at a very young age, you grew up to be nothing more than how you responded to how it all went down. And then that became you. That's why your story matters so much. That's why people talk about their past nonstop. It's the only place they ever found any sense of identity, whether good or bad. Here's what happened. In the beginning, God made man for his image, and God put his life in man, his nature in man. When God made man for his image, he's not talking about a head and arms and legs, because God doesn't have a body. God's a spirit. When he said he made man in his image, he's talking about his person, his likeness, meaning who he is, not what he looks like. That's why the whole room looks different. I love the diversity of God. The whole room looks different. Hitler had a terrible idea, right? God has an amazing idea. He made the whole room look different, but it can all look like him. We're to strive together for the unity of the faith. Pastor Curtis, if you and I both attended this church, they wouldn't mix us up. You look like Curtis, I look like Dan. They would not confuse us. But we can both look like him. That's what makes us one. We're to strive together for the unity of the faith. Here's what happened. God breathes into Adam. Adam becomes a living being. He's filled with who God is. Who is God? How's the Bible describe God? Majesty, glory, almighty, rock that never, right? He's love. Everything that he does flows out of who he is. Who is God? God is love. If he made man for his image, what did he make man for? To love. Well, then how come we all grew up desperately needing love, looking in at it for it in all the wrong places, being needs driven? How come? Because when Adam sinned, he got separated from the source of love, and the image got lost. The day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. But we all know he didn't fall over dead, so something had to die. What died? The image. And he got separated from God, and instead of being love, he became in need of love because he got cut off from the source of love, and he was dead on the inside. So Jesus came, took care of the problem because sin evicted God from his home. So Jesus came and took care of the sin and took away the sin of the world. Why? So we could pray a prayer and go to heaven? Cut me a break. That's all we've preached in this country. No, so we could get restored back to his nature and walk in the light as he's in the light. Walk in a manner worthy of him. Any man says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked. Anyone that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. Walk in love just as Jesus loved. The things I do, you'll do if you believe. Do you need any more scripture? The cross is all about the restoration of God back into man. We call him the way to heaven. Jesus said he's the way back to the Father. We say he's the way to heaven. It's not that we're wrong. It's just that our focus is always something that serves us instead of something that changes us. That's why men have no conviction when they're disgruntled, discouraged, complaining, and frustrated. No conviction whatsoever. We call it normal. I can show you scripture where you do all things without grumbling, without complaining. So you become innocent, harmless children in the midst of a perverse, faultless, without fault. Oh my, almost left that out. That's the part no one believes. Probably why I skipped over it. Holy, blameless, and without fault in the midst, meaning in their sight, a perverse generation. That's a people that are living for themselves. We died to ourselves. We aren't Christians for us. We're Christians for him and the sake of others. If you're not a Christian for him and the sake of others, you're not having a blast being a Christian. I'm just telling you, I'm not being rude. You are not having the time of your life, and there's not joy inexpressible. You are living day by day, and your circumstances have a louder voice than the gospel. And how you're doing and who you are is defined by how it's going. I can prove it, because you ask a Christian how they're doing, they'll tell you their trouble. They won't tell you their relationship. They won't tell you the victory. They won't tell you how they've been separated and in the world but not of it. They won't tell you how in love they are with Jesus. They'll tell you how they're almost ready to get laid off and they had an accident last week and their spouse is acting kind of crazy and please keep me in prayer. I'm not being mean. I'm being real. Jesus paid an incredible price to put his life back inside of me. And he said, if I'm going to follow him, there's something I have to do, Pastor. I have to deny myself, not pray a sinner's prayer, deny myself, pick up my cross so I can follow, not sing to, not need, not pray my list, follow. Why? So Christian, little Christ-like one, so Christians can cover the earth till the whole earth is full of his glory, because any expression of him is the glory of God. Watch this. Do all things. How many things? All things without grumbling or complaining. Why? So your lives are seen by the world as holy and blameless and without fault, confidence before God, unveiled and bold in his presence. Not arrogant, not pompous, confident. There's a difference. And they get moved by that. Why? Because you're shining your light for all to see, and they give glory to God. Come on. Jesus said, let your light shine before men. Nobody lights a lamp and puts a bushel over it. Instead, puts it on a stand for all to see. People, we are born again. We didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. We're going to heaven. Thank God. I'm excited about everlasting life. I'm not putting it down. Let's stop making it our only goal and motive. Our goal is to live Christ. Our goal is to live Christ. Why else are we not conformed to the world but transformed by the renewing of our mind? Why do you put off and put on if it's not about transformation? Why do we need to become a new wineskin? To contain a new and living way. See, Adam gave up the image. Did you ever read Isaiah 52 where Jesus was marred more than any of the sons of men? That's painful. To think that God came and humbled himself to the point where he let men hit him. And not just hit, God, let men hit him, Pastor. It's mind-boggling. This isn't an Easter story. Don't get lulled to sleep. It's not a way in the manger. It's Christ crucified. It's Christ in the flesh. It's God saving men. He let men hit him. We get offended if they look at us wrong. We get insecure if they don't treat us nice. We draw back and get introverted. He let them hit him again and again and again to where Isaiah had a revelation that he was marred more than anyone was ever marred by the hands of men. That means when they were finished beating him, there's no way you could tell who he was. Why? Because when sin got done with Adam in the garden, there is no way you could tell who he was. He didn't look anything like the image. So Jesus had to give up his appearance and his identity to get back ours. Yeah. See, we grab the part where he died so we can live, yay! But not just live in him. Come on, we're to put off things, man. I'm done with frustration, anger, bitterness, animosity in my home. I'm done with praise the Lord. And well, why did you do that? Well, that really made me, well, why do we got to eat there? You always pick where we got to eat. Why don't I ever get a chance to pick where I eat? I'm done with living like that for 28 years. No, I'm not condemning you right now. I'm telling you it's possible. You can call me a liar all you want. One day we'll stand before God and you're going to find out. I haven't been negative to my wife in 28 years. I don't even know how to argue with her. He's taught me to love her, not need her. There's a difference. She isn't my identity. She's my wife. And I love her like he loves his people. And if she's having a weak day, I am sure to have a strong one because I cover her with love. You can ask her, 28 years, my kids have never seen me shout down their mother. My children have a living example why I walk even as he walked. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in me. Not because I'm a great Christian, because I'm a believer. Yeah, I ain't gonna get no trophy. I am not a good Christian. I'm a good believer. That makes me Christ-like. And in that day, I'm gonna bow and cast every fruit he's ever allowed me to produce at his feet and give him glory. Yeah, it's an honor to love her. It sure beats being ticked off and having a right. And he said, she said, well, I wouldn't if they didn't. Well, how come? Well, I hope you're talking to them. Why are you looking at me? Well, you're telling me I believe what I'm preaching to you and I'm gonna have people issues today? Not a flying chance. Tell me, Pastor, 90-some percent of our counseling is people struggling with people. Am I making that up, or is that true? Leadership, is that true? People struggling with people is a good barometer to show you that we don't understand why he came. And somehow we still think it's all about us and how we feel and what they did. And we're letting other things matter way more than what matters most. And we're letting life speak louder than truth. And truth is where freedom comes from. Not life. Come on, I shared a lot of scripture with you in a short time. I know how to work this clock. Bow, 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 bow. Can you tell the words in my heart? Can you tell? I'm not asking, I'm not bragging. Can you tell the words in my heart? It ought to be, it better be. How can you discern a lie if you're not filled with the truth? How will you activate the weapon of your warfare? Casting down every thought and every imagination that rises above the knowledge of God. If you don't fill your heart with truth, you might just go with the imagination. You might just go with the feeling. You might run with the way that seems right to a man. You might just run with rationale and think you're right. And when you look at the fruit of what it's producing, you know it's wrong because he came to give you life and life more abundantly. So if the way you're thinking isn't producing life more abundantly, you're on the wrong track of thinking. So if you think you have a right to have a right, you probably ought to reconsider that. Because I don't know how we denied ourselves and have so many rights. All them rights that fly out in counseling, am I making this up? All the rights that show up in a counseling session? Well, he said, well, she wouldn't have had enough. And poop, poop, poop. If God lived that way, none of us are saved. And he didn't make us that way. We became that way when Adam got separated. So why do we say we're joined and still live like we're separated? Come on, I'm calling you to something today. Why? Because my heart stirs when I'm here. And I feel like God is up to something amazing and all he's been waiting for generations is people that believe, that actually get it and don't water it down and make it all about them and their blessing and their basket of provision, but actually make it about the glory and honor of the name of Jesus Christ to where they live in honor and integrity and they don't compromise. Why? Because he don't compromise. They don't waver. Why? Because he don't waver. They're not in unforgiveness. Why? Because love never fails. Come on, this is Jesus. That's why that song got me so revved up. Oh, hail King Jesus. Why? He showed me who the Father is, and he showed me what my life looks like in the Father. He's not just my Lamb and suffering Savior. He's the representative of the Father, the expressed image of his person and the outraying of his brightness. It's Hebrews 1. He's in Colossians, the visible image of the visible image of the invisible God. And he also said, follow me, and the things I do, you'll do if you believe. So what's he doing? He's modeling the life that Adam lost. He's modeling the life that I was created for and paying the price to invite me in. And we turn it into a prayer that takes me to heaven instead of heaven coming back into me. That's why he says, go preach and say the kingdom of God is where? Where? Well, don't look here and don't look there, for the kingdom of God is within you. Where's the kingdom? You're looking at it. Woo! He paid for this. Isn't that amazing? There's something powerful, people, about living without compromise. There's something powerful about not violating your conscience. There's something powerful about just walking out Jesus. And when you look in the mirror at night, you love what you see. Now, if you fall away, if you slip, if you mess up, it's important to learn to run back to God. But repentance is always involved. It's not just mess up and keep messing up. It's get a revelation, get strength to walk the straight and narrow, keep a single eye. So you run to God, you receive forgiveness and mercy. But no way do we preach the mercy and forgiveness of God as a ticket to stay the same. It's actually motivation to change. So if you justify your life and have all these analogies and reasons for why you're living the way you're living, if it's not Christ, you need to throw away the alibis, because none of them stand before the Lord. You can't let another person determine who you are when Jesus is Lord. You can't let another person and what they said and how they're treating you or how they didn't treat you determine who you are if Jesus is Lord. But that's not our counseling sessions. Well, you don't know how I feel. Well, I've been going through this a long time. You don't know how long it's been. How long do you think I'm supposed to endure this? How long did Jesus endure you? See, we have a mentality that we were birthed in that he doesn't even know. And we call it normal. And we psychologically assess it and accept it. And he tells you to become brand new, be a new creature in Christ, and never again be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what it means? Thinking like you never thought before. Whew. That sounds like a whole lot different than praying a prayer to go to heaven if I think I'll die tonight and not sure where I'll end up. Because you can pray that prayer and stay totally selfish and still shout down your spouse. In fact, you can come out of the bar with a woman on your arm that's not even your wife, and somebody says, hey, man, do you know Jesus? If you died tonight, where are you? Oh, I'm good. I prayed that prayer 2 weeks ago over there with another guy. What are we telling people? We need to tell them, listen, man, you've been living the biggest lie of your life. You've been living for yourself when you're created for God's image. And God wants to restore that image, but most of all, that relationship, and come and live inside of you so you can live in him and he can live in you. And he wants you to walk in love and show mercy and make peace. That's why you're so angry and frustrated and driven, and that's why people are addicted. We have no idea who we are, so we live up to the low level in which we see ourselves. We just need everybody to like us, to believe we're likable. And here's Jesus saying, hey, love you. Come out of darkness into the light. Listen, if you have animosity in your heart, if you have animosity today in your marriage and you're sitting here and you're uncomfortable, don't be uncomfortable, be changed. Say, man, I'm done living for my rights. It's time to live for Christ. You have animosity in your heart towards your loved one. My goodness, let God restore your home. Stop waiting for them to change. You be Christ-like. If I'm preaching and you're elbowing your spouse, I'm definitely talking to you. No, I'm real, I'm telling you. You're elbowing your spouse, you're listening to the sermon for them, and God's talking to you. Because what you're saying is, if you'd change, I'd be better. Been waiting to you. You're supposed to, the women get tricked into this. You're supposed to be the head of this home. I've had countless women come into my office and say, my husband's never the leader. I'm so tired of being the leader. Why do I have to be the leader? He's supposed to be the head of the home. I feel like I'm carrying all the spiritual weight of the family. What are you even saying? You're living Christ. You should be having the time of your life. You're always the leader. You're walking in the light. Light is greater than darkness. You're walking in wisdom. You're walking in love. You're always a leader. Why are you making it some psychological burden to live Jesus because your husband isn't? You should be glad he's in your life and you're free and you can see your husband different and with compassion. You don't need a reason to have a fallout. You have a reason to be rooted and grounded and stand there for. Come on, I'm telling you, there's a psychological way people think, and I've heard it 1,000 times over in counseling, and the language is never God. Yeah. Could you picture the Lord sitting at the right hand with the Father, and they're talking and they're watching your life and they're going, are you kidding me? Father, this hurts me so bad. You know what I paid. You know what I had to go through. And then they're disregarding and then they're taking it lightly, and look what I can't even believe what they're doing. Look, turn it off. I see all things whether I look or not. Please turn that off for now because I can't watch. You know, I'm not even sure why you died for them. This really irks me too, man. It ticks me off. I heard what they prayed yesterday. They say they'll never this, they'll this, they'll this, crying all emotional. And look at that. And then you come to pray and they go, do you hear something? Look, he broke my heart so many times, I don't know if I can even trust him. I don't even want to listen to his prayers. Is there a way I can turn off listening? Come on, I know that's weird, but that's real. Because God will never be that way. But if he'll never be that way, why are we that way if he made us for his image and we're supposed to be reborn? Come on. I'm not scolding you. I'm cheering you on and calling you in to what he paid for so we can fulfill what he wants to do. Because God's up to something in this house. I am not talking to hypocrites. I'm not preaching because you're doing wrong. I'm preaching because God's calling us to live this way. I'm not scolding you. I didn't drive here to correct you. I drove here to tell you who you are so you can make the most of this moment and we can walk in the grace that's upon us so that we can make the most of this little window we have called life. Mine's already 61 years in and it was a flash. Who's older than 61? It was a flash. You're telling stories 50 years old like they were yesterday. Am I telling the truth? And you're reminiscing and you're thinking of stuff that you remember, and it's like, where did time go? It's here today and gone tomorrow. It's not a dread, it's not a grind, it's a gift, because there's a time to be born. And here you sit. Here you sit. There's a time to be born. Who's the author and giver of life? You say, well, my mom got pregnant and she doesn't even know who she got pregnant to. There's a time to be born. On that night she got pregnant, there was 500 million sperm cells racing to that egg. You were in the race of your life. But it was you before the foundation of the world, because you were adopted into as a son and a daughter before the foundation of the world. That means before time started, God knew you and saw you before you were known and before you were seen. And you want to get tricked into thinking your life was an accident and your mom doesn't even know who got you pregnant? God got her pregnant in the sense that he saw your day, and he'll take what started off and didn't look like glory and make it glory if you'll grow up to be a believer. And you don't have to let your history and your heritage and your value and your identity be through your mama. You can love your mama and honor your mama, but that doesn't make you any less because she didn't know who her daddy was. That's just a reflection of where your mom was when she got pregnant. What's that have anything to do with you, your value, and your purpose? Your mother didn't want you when you were born. Your dad wanted to give you away. You got adopted. What does that have anything to do with your value? Why do people psychologically assess and say, well, I mustn't be worth much. My parents didn't even want me. No, your parents were lost and empty and living in a vacuum and had no ability to love you. God loves you. Why do we find our identity through life instead of the giver of life? Well, I can't receive the love of God because I didn't have a loving father. Neither did I, and neither did a lot of us. Why does that have anything to do with God loving me? I don't find the love of God necessarily through my dad. If he knew Jesus, I could, but if he doesn't, I won't. I find the love of God through Jesus, not my dad. But we sell so cheap. Well, because we call him dad, him father, we have to relate. My dad has nothing to do with me receiving the love of God. Jesus does. My dad was alcoholic. I never heard to this day my dad say, I love you. I grew up with a sick mama for 40 years. I got a story like some of you, and some of you have a story way worse, and some of yours isn't quite intense. Has nothing to do with the truth. We could start here and go around the room and tell all our stories and find out who went through the most hell. And then what? Sympathize? Because you can't touch them. They've been through more than you. They won't give you the right because you don't understand. You ain't been in their shoes. There has to be an answer higher than relatability. It's called the finished work of Christ. It's called come out of darkness and into the light. And even though nobody in your life had the capacity to live by the Spirit and love you and see your value, God never lost sight of you. So he put his son on the cross and said, love you. Well, I was treated wrong. Well, I said, yeah, but you've been treated right. Why don't you come over here where you're treated right? Why don't you let him love you and fill you so when I look back at my dad, I can see him different instead of being a hurt son that wasn't loved, a hurt son that had to grow up in alcoholism. Now I can look at my dad and have compassion and realize, oh my goodness, I was trying to drink from a dry cup. No wonder I grew up thirsty. Then I bumped into one that was a well springing up into everlasting life. And he said, if you ask me, I'll give you one drink. And that one drink, you'll never thirst. You see what's wrong with me? 28 years ago, I drank one drink. Meaning I found myself in him. Woo! And then when I look back at my dad, I see something different. I see with compassion and mercy, understanding if he was filled with God and filled with the Holy Ghost, he wouldn't have acted and lived the way he lived. If he knew Jesus, it would have been different, but he didn't. That shouldn't frustrate me. That should make mercy come into my heart. That shouldn't make me angry. That should fill me with compassion. Forgive him, Father. I heard this from somebody very special. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. What's he saying? The world's blind, and I'm a light, and I came to make them see. So why do we talk in the dark, speak like we're still in the dark, rationalize like we're still in the dark, when he's the light of the world? He said, church, arise, and you shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Watch. Darkness, it'll cover the earth. Yeah, deep darkness, the people. That's not our issue. The light is on you. We make darkness the issue all the time. Sometimes we pray because of darkness. We don't even pray because of promise. We pray because of darkness. Light, this is deep. Light, are you ready? This is deep. Light is greater than darkness. I've been studying. No one has ever walked into a bright room and bright lights and said, hey, little tech buddies back there, could somebody turn up the darkness? If the room gets darker, what happened? Somebody turned down the light. So the darkness is never the problem because darkness is the absence of light. And you are the light of the world. When I got saved, I worked in a very dark warehouse. I pastored for 2 years and it was a struggle for me because I didn't understand ministry at the time. And it wasn't that things were wrong, Pastor. I just struggled with church, felt like a business sometimes, board meetings violated me. I just had a I had an adjustment period and I wasn't handling well. I cried a lot. You know the feeling, good. That's why I'm over here getting support, wanting to hug you. So my idea was, let's just get out of pastoring and step out of ministry and just go where it's easy, to the darkest place I can find and work there, because that's a blast. Some of us are praying to get out of our jobs because of darkness. I pray God balls and chains you there till you get a revelation. Don't ask me to pray for you to get a new job, because behind the scenes, I will pray God locks you there for life. Because if you run from something, you'll bump right into it everywhere you go. It has to change in you. It doesn't change out here. It changes in you. You can't run from drug addiction. You'll move a new location and a dealer right next door. You can move to another state and you can go to a royal, sweet little town and somebody right across the street is using. You can't run from things. You find change. A lot of people are praying for a new job because they can't stand where they work, because they can't stand the people. That's a sign that you need to get a revelation of Christ, because he doesn't can't stand those people. He loves those people. Some of us would rather punch our boss in the mouth than pray for him. That's a sign you don't know the Lord like you could. I have to close. Will you go to 1 John 4 with me? Are you guys okay? Can you tell I'm happy? I'm not mad. I'm not scolding you. I'm calling you up. I'm stirring. That's my duty. Kingdom of God is a man who scatters seed. I got two bags on, if you could really see me. And I'm taking advantage of the privilege in the moment. And I am throwing hot and heavy. Because if I don't sow, ain't nothing gonna grow. But if I sow, whoo, I'd go to bed at night, wake up in the morning. God, how do you do it? I found this all in my Bible, and I just happened to believe it. Dan, you're out of your mind. I might be out of yours. Luke. Oh, no, we can't do Luke. I got to do this John thing. I was going to go to Luke quick. It's a nope, Sunday morning. Don't get nervous, Pastor. I never mess up on Sunday morning. Never mess up on Sunday morning. Ever. Please, Lord, help me. 1 John 4, you guys have a children's church here. When I was growing up in VBS, this was a children's church song. Beloved, let us love one another. Anybody ever hear that song? For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Yeah? No, don't clap, because that was terrible. But watch this. See, you weren't going to clap. That's good. Watch this. Watch this. This is so convicting. Beloved, let us love one another. Is God love? He made man for his image. Man got cut off from the source of love. Man was made to love and became in need of love. What a perversion. Instead of love, now he's self-centered, self-focused. He's needy. He's driven. 2 Peter 1, we have exceedingly great and precious promises by which through we partake of his divine nature. Would you say that's love? Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, which means self-centered, unsatisfiable desire. He's my shepherd, I shall not. Woo! I got so much scripture on this thing, man. I've quoted like half the Bible to you today. In a half hour. Bam! You better fill yourself. I'm so pregnant, you ought to see me in the spirit. I should bear down and push soon and just give birth, because I'm getting big. You ought to see me in the spirit. Woo! I've been with somebody. Yeah. And they've come into me and left their seed. And everything that comes from it should look like the one that gave that seed. You hear me say, you look just like your daddy. You ought to. So if you want to know what he looks like, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone, not some, not most, everyone who loves. There's no way to agape, unconditional, unfailing, take no account of suffered wrong, not seek your own love. There's no way to agape without his spirit in you. Because everyone who loves, that's how you know. The Bible doesn't say most, some. Everybody who loves, it's because they're one with God. They know God and he's in them. Because you can't love without him in you. Now this is amazing. Who loves is born of God and knows God. Born of God, knows God. He's in you. Watch. He who does not love. Let me tell you what love is. Doesn't seek its own. Keeps no record of the wrong done to it. Why do we have so many issues? Why do we have unresolved conflicts? Why are we waiting for each other to change? Why don't we just become love and get it over with? Why don't we just die already and surrender so we can truly live? Because if you find your life, you lose it. If you lose it for his sake, you find it. Why are we playing this psychological game and waiting for everyone else to treat us right and give us our due when he already did? Why don't you drink from his cup and never thirst again? Whew. Watch this. My wife has no ability to break my heart. None. I don't care what you say. We've proved it. We've walked it for 28 years. When we first got saved, she was in a mess. So stretch your mind. You see why I'm aggressive? Because I've lived it, not preached it. And because I lived it, that's why I preach it. It's not a theory to me. It's truth. Yeah? He who doesn't love doesn't know God. For God is love. He doesn't say you don't pastor. He doesn't say you don't lead worship. He doesn't say you don't go to church and didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven and didn't say you're not sincere about repentance and getting forgiven of sin. But he did say, if you're not loving, there's one reason, not one of two. You don't know him like you could, which means I can't know him and not become like him. Jesus said, eternal life is knowing him. Eternal life is not the sinner's prayer. Eternal life is the relationship that was lost with the eternal one, restored through the Son of God. Please be saved. Please live saved. Please stay close to Jesus. Please take no account of a suffered wrong. Never grow weary in well-doing. Put your hand to the plow and never look back. Stop complaining and walk in a manner worthy of him because he's worthy. I gotta go. God bless you. And I'm glad you allowed me to speak. Love you.